Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Evan and Tiki will be doing their show live from the Cadillac Club out at Citi Field ahead of the Mets and Braves finale here of this four-game series. Mets finally getting a win last night. They will have Pete Alonso on the air with them, 3:15. That'll be must listen. Looking forward to seeing what Pete has to say about the recent Mets struggles and his slump a little bit as well. We talked a lot about Juan Soto and the success that he has had. We've talked about Max Fried. Mets and Yankees both finally winning a game last night. For me, the Yanks have an off day today, and then they'll take on the A's this week before a big series with the Blue Jays next week, and then the Mets next week as the Subway Series will shift to Citi Field. And then the Mets, they are obviously against Pirates. Atlanta tonight, Pirates this weekend. Well, I forget who's
no
in between
skeins.
There. Yeah, no Skeens this weekend, and obviously Yankees next week. There's somebody else in between there for the Mets. I forget who it is. Hoff, you know who the Mets play after the Pirates this week? I know who it is. I just forget. Anyway, either way.
Just looked at you and then he just looked away.
like, no, how the hell do I know that? I'm annoyed at myself because I had it up. And once you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. But the Pirates this week.
Brewers.
Yeah, there you go, the Brewers. Another crappy, nondescript NL Central team. Although the Brewers are okay. You know they're always okay. But that'll be the calm before the storm next week, 4th of July weekend, Mets and Yanks. My thing with the Mets, BT, if they don't win tonight, then yesterday means nothing, and they're right. Like, it feels great for a day. All right, Yanks avoid the sweep. Mets get a win.
Mm-hmm.
One singular win can change the feel, but if you don't follow it up with a win tonight, especially for the Mets against the Braves, then they're still in this ridiculous rut.
Yeah, and that's why I'm very interested to hear what Pete says. I think that's going to be a really, that potentially could be a terrific interview. I know they'll ask the right questions. We'll just see how much ball Pete's willing to play in terms of being really honest. And if you get the honest stuff, I think that's going to be one that you can't miss, because I think there's a lot about these Mets that we don't know yet. And, you know, I love what Clay Holmes did with Acuna. Gotta love the fact that they won the game last night, but I'm definitely not saying there's a chemistry issue. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't think they look as connected as they did last year. Last year was just a special chemistry year. And to say that they're not quite there yet doesn't mean they won't get there, and it doesn't mean that it's a knock, and it doesn't mean that it's fatal. It's just really illuminating the fact that last year's team was very, very tight.
A big part of last year's success was Mark Vientos. He will be back with the club today. Doesn't mean he's going to be in the lineup tonight. They got to evaluate him, I guess, and see if he's not in the lineup tonight, then he will be in the lineup in Pittsburgh or against Pittsburgh.
You throw him right back out there at third base, right, immediately?
Yeah, boom. I mean, that's probably what they're going to do. They need him to stick, dude. He's been one of the biggest disappointments. The offense has not been good overall. This is not just an 11-game stretch here. The offense this year has not been what we expected it to be. Everybody was expecting Lindor to be an MVP, Pete to be at his peak, and Soto to be an MVP type player, and that has not happened for three of them together, along with Nimmo, Vientos, McNeil, whoever you want, Alvarez. They just have not done that. Vientos is a big part of that because he's been the most disappointing bat that they've had.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He was projected to have almost 90 RBIs himself. We were talking about Soto and the 90 RBI benchmark. He was at 87.5, which is one of the over-unders I took, and I took under for that. Certainly didn't expect him to get hurt and didn't expect him to look as off as he did to start the year. I like Vientos, but I'm very curious how he comes back and where he's at and if he could stabilize the season. And I went so far as to say to Sal yesterday that I think that, because I think that you said Vientos is the most disappointing Met, and I took it a step further. I said, yeah, I think he's the most disappointing New York baseball player so far. And to follow up, I'm curious. I'm going to give you the first crack. Who's the second most disappointed New York player this year? It could be Volpe.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it through here. Alvarez comes to mind.
There's a couple of candidates here. There's no question. Devin Williams, for sure.
Yeah, he might be up there. He might be.
But he's stabilized. He was just so awful the first six times. Like, he's been good for a while. But, no, I mean, ERA's 5.5.
Through the Mets, is there anybody else? Alvarez would be one with the Mets.
Nimmo's gotten hot, so it's not him.
You're not counting guys who got hurt.
No, not fair. No. It's not Lindor. It's.
I probably guess Alvarez would be number two for me as far as the Mets go. As far as the Yankees go, yeah, I think it's up there with Volpe. And again, this is in my grading scale here would be expectation versus result.
Can I guess where you're going to go with the other Yankee? And so if you're going to go Volpe,
go ahead.
You got to think about Bellinger a little bit here.
You know what?
A little bit.
You know what? I think he probably is. He probably would be number two because you and I both. I thought he was going to be
me too.
A stud.
I know.
This year.
I know.
Regain whatever that form is. Not that he was going to be consistent. In the next 4 or 5 years with the Yankees, but at least this singular year, go nuts at Yankee Stadium with Judge hitting behind him. Now, to be fair, it's not like Judge is hitting behind him every day. In my mind, that's how I drew it up. Boone has drawn it up a lot differently. So I think that's a mistake with the Yankees not having that set Bellinger, Judge, Stanton, especially with Stanton back. But yeah, I think Bellinger could be number two because of the expectations for him.
I just thought we'd have more home runs at this point. I thought he'd be a little bit louder, but there's real night-to-night value with him because he's a great defender. We know that. So
who would you say?
I would say, given the lengthy slump, I would say Volpe over Belly.
Even though your expectations for Volpe were not as high as mine.
Not as high as yours, but still high. Remember, I took him over the on-base percentage thing that we did with our over-unders. I thought for sure, and I still do, he's going to steal 25-ish bags. Maybe low 20s at this point. He's not on base enough. I thought there'd maybe be a few more home runs, or if not the home runs, maybe a more sizable uptick in average. I think what's disappointed me probably the most about Anthony this year is that he's looked a little skittish. This was the first time that I've really seen Volpe look a little frustrated. Visibly frustrated, like, all right, he is not robotic, even though we kind of seen that way his first 2 years, like good, bad, amazing, awful, always kind of the same guy. You've seen a couple of the spikes of the helmet. You've seen a couple of, especially when he didn't make that defensive play a couple of games ago, that ground ball when against the Angels when he kind of laid back on it rather than attack it. You could see his reaction, the base running gaff as well. He's frustrated. So I think I have to go Volpe, and I'd probably go Belly too. Volpe won, but again, I still got to give some votes to Devin. So Devin Williams, Belly too.
BT and Sal on the Fan. This baseball brief was brought to you by Guinness Stout. It's a lovely day for a pint of Guinness. Anthony's in Bethpage. What's up, Ant?
Hey, boys. What's going on?
How are you, Ant?
Hello, Ant.
Good. Big fan of the show. Happy birthday, BT.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate that.
Just so you know, you share a birthday with Derek Jeter, but I'm a diehard Mets
fan. Well aware.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, it's the captain's birthday.
How old is Jeter today?
He's a year younger than me.
Okay.
I think he's 51.
He is. He's 1 year younger than me. Yep.
But so at the beginning of the year, you guys were kind of bashing Juan Soto, but everyone's kind of come around on him. I mean, I always knew he was going to produce. But what's the deal with the outfield situation? What do you guys think as far as the trade deadline? Is it worth going after somebody? I think an extra arm always helps, too. Down the stretch.
They need an outfielder, and thank you for the call, Ant. They need you can't have Jeff McNeil, although he made a great catch last night. He can't be your starting center fielder. Think about what we're talking about here. You're trying to win a World Series. They have not had a center fielder, and I love Tyrone Taylor as a ball player. Love him. He's not an everyday player. He's not an everyday center fielder, so he's a great defensive player. You want to get him some at-bats, he'll be in there on occasion, give Nimmo some rest, whatever you want to do. They need a center fielder, whether that's Mullins, whether it's Duran, whether it's somebody else. The Mets need a legitimate major league center fielder, and you could probably take a step further and say they need a legit major league third baseman. Even if Vientos hits, he's not good defensively at third base. He never was. Last year he played over his head. That has not been maintained. Unless you think it's going to be Brett Beatty at some point, and I can't rely on that, they probably need a legit major league third baseman, and then you could move Beatty / Vientos with Winker and Marte DH, figure it out with those guys.
Yeah, back to Taylor. I like him too. He has value. He's a gamer. For sure. He's a great center fielder. He only flies, though, night to night if you've got thumpers everywhere. Mets don't have the luxury. Now, again, if Vientos comes back and starts cranking, if Pete wakes up, that changes a bit. And if Soto stays hot, you know, Lindor's got to get hot again as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's not quite as cold as Pete, but he didn't have a hit in that previous Braves series down in Atlanta. I just look at Taylor Moore as a fourth outfielder. And by the way, your boy Vic, it's his birthday today. Mike Vic as well.
Is it?
Yeah, we got Jeets.
He's not my boy anymore.
I thought you loved him.
Remember I told you last year I met him?
Oh, yes. At the 40-40 Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And it was a blow-off spot.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot, but now I remember. Hey, that was at Mike, the Fanatics, right?
Yeah, Fanatics was last year at the 40-40 Club. Hey, Mike, big fan. Just wanted to say hello, man. You know, he could not be less interested. Like, he wasn't mean, but just couldn't be less interested. I even dropped Taylor Rooks, my friend Taylor Rooks, who's like a mega star.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I know Taylor Rooks. And he's like, oh, yeah.
I know Taylor
Rooks. Well, I'm trying to get it in there.
Did he sound any more desperate? Hey, I know Taylor Rooks. Talk to me.
That was like the third thing.
Yeah, you know, I got you. It's the Hail Mary.
You know when you're, you know, the on-air stuff, like, you know when your segment's dying or whatever, you got to go to the next thing or whatever. I was fired. He didn't give me anything on the first thing.
Got it.
Didn't give me anything on the second thing. By the third one, was like, oh, yeah, I know Taylor Rooks as well. You know?
Hail Mary time.
Yeah, and that was it.
I got you. Yeah. Jeter's birthday, Michael Vick.
So screw you, Vick. Yeah. Supported you through all that nonsense, and that's how you do me? That's dirty, Mike Vick. Anyway,
Shannon Sharp, he got bounced. You see that from ESPN? That's over. Yes, no. I think I saw that yesterday. I think he's gone officially. Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah, I think I read that real fast. I'm pretty sure. Oh, here's a name that you certainly know. Don't know if you love it. Ryan Thompson.
Yeah, the former Met.
Yeah, the alpha. He was in one of the big trades, right?
I was at a game where he hit a grand slam off of John Smoltz.
Okay.
Did we have Smoltz on, or did I do that interview by myself? I feel like I talked to Smoltz.
You did
about
it by yourself.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? It might have been
I don't remember this. I may have been on vacation.
Well, I remember talking about this with Smoltz. There was a game in, I want to say, 94 that I was at. And I only remember it because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Smoltz gives up a grand slam home run to Ryan Thompson. The next batter drills John Cangelosi right
the
in
little
the back.
Guy. Yeah. Little lefty, little bunter, drilled little pirate. Right, I met him on the Pirates.
And it
White
started
Sox.
The brawl.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, it was the first brawl that I remember being at. Yeah, they charged him out.
Is it on YouTube? I got to see. Because a lot of the Met fights with Daryl are on there. I don't remember that one
it's
at all.
90, I want to say it's in 93.
Really?
94. I'm going to guess 94. It was either 93 or 94.
Ryan Thompson was the kind of guy who came out for batting practice and just looked the part. And really, his stats weren't nearly as bad as some people might remember. This is another example. I forget what player I referenced the other day. You hear the name. If you're a Mets fan, Ryan Thompson, whatever, right? But then you look, 250, 251, 260, 290, 248, like small samples, obviously. But, like, the guy wasn't hitting 212 every year. Absolutely crazy how the averages have sunk. Right? People look at him as a scrub.
Yeah.
Wasn't horrendous compared by the modern batting average metrics now.
Yeah, it's just different. You go back and look at some of those numbers, not just him, obviously. You look at some other guys and you think about what their careers would have been in today's game, or vice versa, guys that had careers then.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Or guys that have careers now, what there would have been in the old days. Dave is calling from the Jersey Shore. What's up, Dave?
How you doing, guys? It's a dynamic duo. I love the show. And BT, happy birthday, my brother.
That's awesome.
Enjoy with your family.
Thank you, but no question. Yeah. Big dinner tonight. Looking forward to it.
Sounds great. I called like 2 weeks ago and I said, I hope the Atlanta Braves don't, you know, do what the Mets did last year. And it looks like they're starting to do that. I can't believe the Mets could even beat them a game until last night. But talking about Soto, last time we talked how many double plays he hits in. But what I love about Soto, he doesn't try to do it all like Alonso, like his emotions get the better part of him and he swings at these pitches. You know, with Soto, he'll take the walks if they're not going to pitch to him. And when they do pitch to him, you know, he hits the ball on the money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if he makes an out, he hits it. He hits the ball. He hits it to double plays, but he's hitting the ball. You know what I mean? He's not striking out. But I love the walks. I love what he's doing. And we talked about this months ago that when he got off to the slow start, and I said, I respect Keith Hernandez's knowledge of the game. And he said, he'll come around. Don't worry about it. And I don't know, he's right. But once again, you guys are great. I love it.
Well, we appreciate Dave. Thank you for the call. I was critical of Juan Soto for his slow start after 20 games or something around that. Like, hey, enough already. Never once did either of us think Juan Soto was not going to get it turned around. And Juan Soto has gotten it turned around and then some with this incredible month of June. But that's, and this is why I was saying it earlier, and I think it's worth repeating. You know, we're highly critical of a lot of players and teams, poor performances, whatever it may be. I have a high standard myself for the Yankees, for the Mets, whatever, any team in this town. We're New York City. We expect more. We want championships. And this town has been void of that for quite some time. And there's a reason why I love Juan Soto. I can't even believe that it's gotten to a point where some, like yesterday was, oh, how are you ripping, you're ripping Alonso, or whatever it was 2 days ago. You're ripping Alonso, but you love Juan Soto. Yeah, this is why. You're seeing why. Pete Alonso was great in April or May. That's not sustainable for him. Juan Soto, it is sustainable what he's done in the month of June. And it's better than anything that the Mets franchise has seen from an offensive player. There's a reason I love him. It's not because he looks good or, hey, the uniform fits him nicely. Like, why do you think I love Juan Soto? Because the guy's a beast. That's why. It should tell you something.
You are nuts with this Soto love.
I love him.
You love him.
But you know why.
We know.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever loved anybody more? I think I got to ask the question.
The three guys that come to mind.
Piazza
and Harvey were the other two. And Soto would be those three. But now, Piazza was great, obviously, and provided as many moments, more moments than any Met in my fandom. Now, I love the 86 team, but there was no singular individual that I love more than others. I just love that team, all of them. Keith,
yeah, of
Gary,
course.
Doc, all that stuff. Piazza was different. When the Mets got him, the vibe changed. Everything changed. He wasn't afraid of the Yankees or the big moments and all that stuff. Matter of fact, he embraced the big moments. So that's why he got that. Harvey, same thing. First, second, I saw him throw a pitch. I was like, who is this guy? A beast, an alpha male. And Soto, I think, when all said and done, is going to be the best of the entire bunch. That's how great he is.
I got a question for you. All right. It's just a fun baseball question. It just popped up. You mentioned the 86 Mets. It just triggered my memory. So yesterday we were going back and forth on a text chain, me and my fellow coaches, about our upcoming game, right? Strategy, whatever. So one of my buddies and fellow coaches, Mike, he texts me three game summaries. And he goes, FYI, BT. He goes, ChatGPT says the 86 Mets beat the 61 Yankees in a 7-game series. Mm. I wrote back, well, ChatBT says, how about you worry about the 25 Braves who you can't beat? All right. Yeah. And then my other buddy who's on the Steve's actually from Philly, said, how about 25 Braves? How about my first place Philly? So we're having a little fun with that. I mean, there's a no-win, unsolvable question, but what, I'm going to present it. 86 Mets, all right? 86 Mets. I'm not going to go to the 61 Yankees because none of us saw them. 86 Mets, 98 Yankees. Who wins?
I mean, I'm biased with that. The 98 Yankees is one of the best teams I've ever seen, though. They were just a machine.
So were the 86 Mets for me. Yeah. One of the best teams I've seen.
I know, but also, you know, lucky to stay alive in Houston. They got owned by Mike Scott. Again, a miracle to come back in Game 6 against Boston before winning in Game 7.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were playing with some fire
there.
Yeah,
they really were.
Also, 98 Yanks had to do more in the postseason, meaning more rounds. Like, the Mets got there in the regular season.
Okay.
You know, it got there with a dominant regular season that had the two teams. I hate to say it, and I love the 1986 Mets team more than any team. It's the 86 Mets and the 94 Rangers are my two favorite teams in the history of my sports fandom. But I probably side with the 98 Yanks.
Okay, okay. By the way, I probably do the same, but I've always said,
I mean, come on, dude. They swept the World Series.
I know.
I'm not saying they swept the
Mets.
Oh, but
that's, come on. The team,
it was a bad.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Paul 2 on Langston versus Tino.
Ah, please, before you hit the grand slam off the top facade and you see the beer flying, that was a bad call. I mean, we've asked Tino about that. We had him at Joe Torre's golf outing, and he's like, yeah, it's a pretty good pitch. I mean, I can't answer that, but the thing, maybe the reason why the 86 Mets really resonate with me, and obviously the 98 Yankees, an absolute juggernaut historically, like the 61 Yankees, a few other teams as well, but the 86 Mets were the first great team that I remember watching. Like, it's hard. You can watch football and you can watch basketball, and it's almost easier to say this team is just dominant. Look what they're doing. They're winning 121-82 in the NBA or 35-3 in football. Like, I don't know, like watching baseball and just feeling as if you're watching a dominant baseball team every night, the 86 Mets were the first team that really gave me that feeling. And then you get into the 98, 99, 2000, a little different because we played you guys. But the 98, 99 opponents for the Yankees, they weren't even competitive. I mopped the floor with them, man.
I just pulled up the Smoltz game here.
I got it, too. I got the fight.
Somehow it's on YouTube. I'm not even watching the fight. I'm watching the whole game.
Well, I got the fight. I isolated
you
it.
You saw it here?
I'm Smoltz watching Cangelosi now.
He walked David Segui.
Intentionally. I like Segui.
To get to Ryan Thompson, who we struck out twice.
Okay.
And now it's a is Thompson going to hit the home run, and then Cangelosi gets hit anyway. It's amazing to me that you could just Google it real quick. The whole game is up.
When is Joe Orsolak going to dig into the batter's box? I'm pretty sure he was on that team. Here's the fight, too. We'll get to it. I actually have to fight, though. We got to watch this during the break. It's funny.
Mets Braves tonight. They'll have three. Pete Alonso on at 3:15 today. So that'll be a must listen to see what Pete says here. Also, BT, it's a different type of interview. I miss the old school. You know, it just doesn't happen as often as it used to with Mike and the Dog. We get, you know, big players on or managers on regularly, whatever, the paid spots.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different setting for Alonso than it is in the post-game scrum or with Gelbs afterward or whatever. You know what I mean? This is different now.
Yes.
Coming into a radio spot that's, you know, with Mets fans or Yankees fans, whatever, it doesn't matter. You get the point. From a fan's perspective, as opposed to just strictly media. I know we're media, but you get the point.
I think it's awesome. I think it's great for the station. I think it's, you know Evan and obviously everybody else, but Evan's going to ask great questions. He's going to have it teed up, lined up. He's going to rock it. And curious, do we get, well, he's really never grumpy, but do we get grumpy or happy polar bear here? I mean, can't be too enthralled with the way he's swinging the bat.
I think Pete's Pete, no matter what.
Yeah.
He's always been even keel. When he's high, he's high. That's great. When he's low, he's still the same. You know, he gets down on himself maybe more so than others, which can lead to a feeling of a lack of confidence in him.
Yeah.
And there's been inconsistencies over the last couple of years, but I'm very intrigued to see what Pete Alonso says. The only thing is, and you're right, like Evan will ask the right questions. We think Evan does have a soft spot for Alonso. He loves
this guy and DeGrom.
Well, DeGrom too. At least I could say, well, DeGrom was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And by the way, almost threw the no hitter again last night. Yeah. Do you think DeGrom's a Hall of Famer at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be willing to go there.
I'll tell you why, because it almost seems so contrived. I know people have heard this before. How do you tell the major league history of pitching without DeGrom?
A guy who won back-to-back Cy Young Awards. Yeah,
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen enough of the injury. Maybe. Either way, you know, Evan, he's got a soft spot for Pete. He's always been a sucker for the homegrown player.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, him and I have been fighting about that for years. He once said he wouldn't trade David Wright for Miguel Cabrera. This is back when Cabrera was with the Marlins. Like, you know, just about to enter his prime.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you insane? Like, I love David Wright, but come on, what are you doing? So he values the homegrown player, you know. He loves Pete, maybe the way that I love Soto.
You think he lets him off the hook a little bit?
No.
Okay,
I was just kind of messing around.
We're playing here. I know you are.
He was kind of messing around, but those two were good.
Yeah. That Miguel Cabrera, I remember you bringing this up one other point or one other time here. So he played in the World Series, I think he was 19, against the Yankees.
In 03?
Yeah, he was 18. I think he was 19. He was
this
young.
Conversation took place after that.
Okay, but how many years after? Because it's one thing to sit here and say, well,
let's say three. Let's say it was, it had to be anywhere from 05 to 07.
So he's probably
I would say 06, maybe even 06 to 08. I would say somewhere around there.
Before he went to Detroit?
Yes. He was definitely with the Marlins.
All right, so he was obvious. But I just asked the time stamp on that because I could understand why this before David Wright hurt his back. Mm-hmm. David Wright was a plus defender. David Wright was a plus base runner. David Wright was,
come on,
at that point, the de facto captain. No, I mean,
Miguel Cabrera.
But that's why I'm asking when. You punching stats up here?
I know, I'm looking up the numbers where.
Because Cabrera.
So he got traded or whatever. Did he get traded from Miami or did he sign as a free agent?
I thought he signed as a free agent. I could be
he
off
got
on
traded. That.
And then he signed the big extension, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he got traded in after
this?
The 2007 season.
All right, so how many years
in
was that?
We probably had this debate, I would guess, 2007 then.
All right. So
anywhere between 06 and 08, obviously.
Miggy stats. All right, so. Again, you know, what did think about this before you answer. I know you want to defend your point here, but there's more to debate, I think, than you're giving it credit for. So, definitively, what was Miguel Cabrera better at?
He was a better offensive player, a potent, just absolute threat every time he stepped up. Mm-hmm. David Wright was not that.
Understood, but he didn't defend, and he didn't run. Matter of fact, he was painfully slow, and he had a good arm, but he wasn't, you know, David Wright was a Gold Glover. And that's why I ask, like, if you're talking 2008, well, all right.
Oh, no, it had to be before that.
Well, no, he was with Detroit in 2008.
That's what I'm saying. So it was before that.
More so for me. Let's say you're talking 2007. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that he was always an incredibly impressive young hitter, but, you know, he became Miguel Cabrera. He hit .344 when he was 28. That's in 2011.
Right.
And then .330, then .348. There's that Miguel Cabrera. Right. I would imagine if you asked Evan then, he would have a different answer. And if he didn't, then I would say, well, Evan's nuts.
But obviously, what? I mean, everybody would say the same thing. after the fact. That's why I was saying it before the fact and during the 2006, whatever, seven season.
Yeah.
How could you not see that Miguel Cabrera is going to be a far better player than David Wright?
You couldn't because you couldn't see that David Wright was getting, but you couldn't see that David Wright was going to hurt his back.
No, forget
which is
about,
the main reason why David Wright fell apart.
Forget about the back thing because I agree you can't predict that. Evan, to me, was holding on to the homegrown thing, and I was just looking at it saying Cabrera is a better offensive player, an offensive force. Now, you have right numbers?
I just popped them up,
Give me 2006, 2007.
All right, 2006 was great. So, even though his best average was a year after. 2006, he hit .311,
yeah,
stole 20 bases,
right,
had 116 RBIs,
mm-hmm,
40 doubles,
mm-hmm,
scored 100 runs.
How many homers?
26.
Yeah. All right, so Miguel Cabrera, 26 homers, 114 ribbies. He hit .339.
Oh, okay, but you gloss over.
What was Wright's OPS?
Yeah, but hold on. So you go, David, just to be clear, yeah, David Wright had more home runs and RBIs that year than Miguel. Not by much, but he had more.
I thought you said he had 26.
He did.
Yeah, so that's what Cabrera had.
Oh, I thought you said he had 24. How many ribbies?
114.
Okay, well, David Wright had two more RBIs and 20 more steals.
What was Wright's OPS?
OPS that year was .912. Yeah. I'm sure he's a little bit higher. Miggy, a little bit higher.
.998.
Okay, that's 1 year.
What about the following
year? Go to next year.
Yeah.
Next year, David Wright hits .325. Mm-hmm. I don't think Miggy was quite at that .320-ish threshold.
.320.
All right, so 5 points higher for David Wright. 30 home runs. Yeah. What would Mickey do?
34.
Okay. Well, how many RBIs?
119.
Okay. How many steals?
But that's not.
No, I'm just asking. Well-rounded player.
He's not a stolen base guy.
David Wright won the Gold Glove that year, and he stole almost 40 bases.
Congrats. I would rather have Miguel Cabrera. Now you can
as a hitter.
You could side. I just want a Miguel Cabrera. It's the same argument we have with Juan Soto.
I was thinking the same thing. It always goes down to this.
Correct. I value the more impactful offensive player. I didn't even think David Wright was close to Miguel Cabrera.
But at that point, it was just proven that he was close.
Maybe, but we're also just getting started. How old was Wright?
David Wright at that point, he was 24.
In what year?
And that year, in 27 we're on.
Okay, so the same age.
What was same exact age. What was Miggy's OPS that year?
965.
Okay, David Wright was 963. It's the same. What was his OPS plus?
150.
Okay, 149. Exactly the same there, only 35 more steals than a Gold Glove.
Okay. Well, I mean, you guys
would project. You make it seem like I'm saying the Jose Rafael Santana that you want to hold on to.
I remember having the conversation and thinking Evan was out of his mind for preferring David Wright over Miguel Cabrera.
But based on what? Because now that you hear the numbers, maybe you need to change what you were thinking
based
back then.
Look at what happened after.
I'm not talking about after David Wright hurt his back.
I understood, but I was still proven to be correct. David Wright, even if he didn't hurt his back, he never put up numbers that were Dude, you want to go over Miguel Cabrera's numbers?
No, I know the numbers.
So I want to tell you, my eyes could see more than yours or Evans could at the time that Cabrera was a better offensive player. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it because I don't remember. It was 20 years ago. Other than having that conversation and being perplexed that anybody could think that Wright was a better offensive player than Cabrera. The numbers could be similar.
Yep.
I'm just telling you how I felt. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to be right, obviously. That has proven not to be the case. I'm just telling you in the moment how I felt. I could not believe, it was never realistic, but I was just like, dude, come on. You're going to keep David Wright instead of Miguel Cabrera? What are you kidding me? So you can make some arguments based on the numbers, sure, but my feeling at the time was Cabrera was a far superior offensive player.
Which he proved to be, which was also greatly enhanced by the fact that David Wright had spinal stenosis, couldn't run as much, couldn't hit for power.
I mean, dude,
obviously,
Wright
they had to move
the
fences at Citi Field.
Wright would never. I mean, look at Miguel Cabrera's numbers.
He was never going to hit .340. David Wright was not that guy. I give you that.
Not only that, 37 homers, 38, 40, 44, 44. Dude.
Yeah.
He was a different animal.
I know he was. To me, Miguel Cabrera is one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time.
Yeah.
He's Manny, even though Manny cheated. I think of great righty hitters, at least that I've seen play. I would throw Molitor in there. I would throw Robin Yount. I wouldn't throw Ripken in there myself, but that would probably spark a debate. But I never do that. Winfield is a Hall of Famer, 3,000 knocks. I think there's more better. There's more great lefty hitters in my lifetime. Brett, Bonds, Quinn, Carew, right, than righties. Maybe that's just an opinion, but I feel that way. So
A-Rod? Would you put A-Rod?
Of course, Alex is
better
in there.
Better than Cabrera?
Yeah, because he was an amazing fielder and he could run.
And he also would cheat.
Do we know?
Well, we don't.
I'm going to start just casting aspersions that we can say that about anybody. But this is interesting because to me, forget about the name Cabrera, forget about the name David Wright, and just have the general baseball conversation about player X and player Y. Player X is undeniably, I'm going to grant you this, undeniably a better offensive player. Higher OPS, more home runs, but not like a ton more.
Yeah.
More RBIs, right? But player Y is in the neighborhood, but is the superior base runner and the superior fielder at a pretty important position. I'll take player Y.
And a great leader.
Yeah, yes.
In favor of David. I get
it. I'll take player Y.
All I could tell you is how I felt in the moment. And maybe I was a little soured after the 2006 postseason where I called right out. You know,
oh, that's right. That's where Francesa lit you on, right?
Either way, yeah. Either way, I just remember in the moment. And I feel the same way about Soto now. Like, people make arguments, and we've had...
I make the arguments.
You and I have had these debates. Oh, he's a 270 hit or whatever it is that you say about
he's
Soto.
He's a tool guy. Tools.
Give me Soto all day long. Just like I said, Cabrera. And maybe Soto's about to hit his prime the way Miguel Cabrera did. Maybe we get another 45 home run season coming at some point. 140 RBI. Who knows?
Be the first one he has.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Chris is on Staten Island. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a point about Volpe. I know he hasn't lived up to that first round draft pick that he's been, but I mean, I would take a shortstop that hits 230, 240. He's on pace to knock in about 80 something RBIs. And I mean, he might not be that first round talent, but if he's going to knock in about 90 RBIs a year, maybe even when he grows a little more, I take it. No.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, Chris. And when you present it like that, and thank you for the call, buddy, it's hard to push back because it almost seems like theoretical, like you're sitting at a bar. Hey, if I could find a young shortstop who could pick it and have 90 RBI, I get that. But number one, you can't avoid the first round status. That just kind of follows you for your career. And I'm definitely more of a Volpe fan than most. Or than some who have kind of abandoned ship at this point. But I also think that you have to look at it and not just say what he is as a player, but where he is currently with other major league shortstops, right? And again, I'm not going to bore you with a ton of numbers here, but I mean, Pena's a stud. Wilson's a stud. De La Cruz, we just saw him with the Yankees, stud. Abrams is a young stud. Bobby Witt, to me, is one of the best players in baseball. Even Neto from the Angels, we saw him recently against the Yankees. Trey Turner's going to have 200 hits again. He leads baseball in hits. Lindor was second in the MVP a year ago. J.P. Crawford's pretty good. I mean, all of these players have higher OPSs and many other. Bo Bichette, solid. Perdomo, the kid from Arizona, solid. Like, that doesn't mean that he can't ascend to a place where he's more in the middle. But right now, I just named 10, 12 players who are just better right now than Volpe.
And if you say you accept that, then you're accepting way less. Than like, oh, yeah, I'll take a guy. He literally said, I'll take a guy who hits 230.
230? Yeah, I know. I did hear
what?
Him say that.
Nah. 230? The guy's supposed to be hitting 330, not 230.
I'll settle for 260. 300.
Oh, I understand. Oh, I get that now at this point. But yeah. we've lowered the expectation. Ask Brian Cashman what he thought he was getting. We did. And he said he thought he was getting a star. This is like, yeah, all right, I'll take it. Serviceable. You can live with it. And that's what they are doing. Although I'll tell you this, you can't live with the choke jobs in a big spot. And Volpe, unfortunately, going back to the World Series a year ago, the Angels
also had a grand slam in the World Series.
I get it. I'm talking about defensively.
Also hit the ball hard all postseason. The numbers reflect that. Even his outs were pretty hard.
Okay. Well, then
he didn't look overwhelmed is my point. And I believe in his character enough where he's going to plow through and be better than he is now. All I'm saying is I don't see him becoming what I thought he would become.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
What's up, Charlie? Hey, BT, happy birthday, bro. You look great for 60. I'm telling you right now.
Get the hell out of here, man. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, buddy. You sound good for 93.
Very wrong.
Well done.
Hey, by the way, Sal, great job in SNY yesterday with the three ladies. That's probably as close as you ever came to a threesome in your life.
Phil, Charlie? Come on, what kind of show is this?
Charlie, come with the bangers today.
Charlie, what the hell got into Charlie today? All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Been all over the place today. Talked a little Knicks to start the show. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Their head coaching vacancy still there. Is Jason Kidd going to be the guy? Who knows? The draft, first round come and gone. Knicks still don't have a head coach. Talked a lot about Soto and the heater that he's been on. Mets and Yanks both getting off the mat with a win last night. Yankees off today. Mets will be taking on the Braves. Evan and Tiki live from the Cadillac Club following us. Pete Alonso will join them at 3:15. Bruce is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Bruce?
Gentlemen, how you doing? Good. Love the show. Happy birthday, BT.
Thanks, Bruce.
You're welcome. Couple quick thoughts on the Yanks. Kind of frustrating. So-so season so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of mind-boggling that they lost about four games because they couldn't get a runner in from second with no outs. But think about this. What if that causes them to lose the division to Tampa by one game, where Tampa obviously has, you know, a lot lower payroll, and Tampa has to play their home games against the Yankees in the Yankee Stadium in Florida?
Yep, Steinbrenner Field. Yep.
How frustrating would that be?
Yeah. I mean, but this is not a surprise. This is what the Rays do. They stretch their dollar as well as anybody in sports. You can really make that case.
Was it you who said that the Rays played a lot of home games already, or was it maybe Susan?
Well, I said it. Okay. Mick Susan said it well. They played a lot early by design because now that it's outdoors, right, you want to avoid the tornado. The hurricane season.
Yeah. Either way, so that was an argument for saying, well, you're not necessarily worried about the Rays. What I will say is I'm very curious. Usually the Yanks-Blue Jays matchups are a bore. It's like, the Blue Jays again. It's a big matchup that they got coming up here after this weekend in Toronto for four, right? And I mean, Toronto right now is 3.5 games back of the Yanks for first place. Yanks have not been playing great baseball, as we know. Yeah, the Rays are right there, but I think I still value the Red Sox until they, you know, dump everybody, and that may be the case, and they're going backwards a little bit now anyway. I'm still going to hold out belief that they are the biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL East. I think Toronto could be a potential legit threat, even more so than the Rays.
I don't think they have the arms. I think their pitching's horrendous. I mean, their run differential, I think, is like -5 or -6. It was at least the other day. Do you have in front of you at least?
They are -7 now.
-7, okay. You know, Vladdy is, it's funny, we're talking about Soto with the 90 RBIs. Vladdy coming off that big extension. Vlad Guerrero right now is projected to have 82 RBIs. Hey, what the hell's going on with some of these stars around baseball? I mean, I'm not putting Soto in the same category necessarily with Guerrero, but it is interesting where Toronto, I don't really ever take them seriously. I don't disagree with that. I almost assume, not that they'll win these games, but over the course of 162, that Toronto will lose enough. Maybe not head-to-head, but they'll lose enough where the Yankees will finish ahead of them. And that's probably one of the only, quote-unquote, rivalries that I take for granted. Like, yeah, I don't take anything for granted with Boston. When the Yankees play the Mets, I don't take it for granted. When the Yankees play the Rays, it's always, you know, low-scoring, pitching. It's a tough battle to catch the ball. There's something about Toronto where it's just zero sweat.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look up when the last time they won a division was. You have that?
I'm going to pull it up right now. Was it Joe Carter? No.
Okay, I'm just going backwards. Yankees, Orioles, Yankees, Rays, Yankees, Red Sox. 2015, the Blue Jays won. So they won the division in 2015. It was the Yankees lost that year with the that was the Keuchel game, right?
That was Keuchel. Yes, we lost to the Astros. That was a rough one.
So 2015, Toronto won the division. Before that, it was 1993.
It was Joe Carter, so I forgot about the 1-15. Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that's when you talk about, wow. I mean, just looking over this, how many divisions the Yankees have won. A lot of Red Sox in there, a lot of Yankees, and a bunch of Rays. Even a couple of Orioles sprinkled in. One Blue Jays division win. Since 1993, they've won it once in 2015.
That's insane.
But that's a big part of why we're like, can't take them seriously. Well, why would you? They've won one division in 30 years.
Yeah. So the Toronto Blue, they're interesting. They were born in 1977. It was either 76 or I think it would have been 77. But for a team that hasn't been around that long and to, you know, what Sal just hit up there with the dearth of the titles in the division, they've got their share of amazing players over the years. I mean, you really think about it, like Alomar. Robbie Alomar's an old-timer. I mean, yeah, listen, I'm not saying Vlad Guerrero's quite there, but Vlad Guerrero's going to go down as a Hall of Famer. Roy Halladay, I know he did some stuff with the Phillies as well. Roy Halladay was an amazing, amazing player. Just
I used to love those early 90s Blue Jays teams.
They were a fun team to watch. Mulder was there, and Ricky, Ricky was
Tony
there.
Tony Fernandez. They had some good players.
Yeah.
John is
calling. Olerud.
Yeah, I loved Olerud. John is calling from Brookfield, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Johnny?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Before I make my Beckham point, BT, first, happy birthday. But
thanks, John.
You're killing me with that story before. Hoff. I'm driving my 9-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son back from basketball camp. Hoff tells his story, says adult female actress, and I'm like, all right, I don't have to turn my radio down. And then you recap it and say, so Hoff, you spent all night with a porn star. So explaining that to my kids is going to need a little preparation.
Understood there, John. So the good news, so what you should see, this is also a mistake on your part. I'm going to flip it. It's your fault, John, not my fault.
No, hold on.
John's fault. So, John, you're in the car. You said they both went to basketball camp. First of all, that's awesome.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear that, and we don't really engage in that too often, but it happened.
Whatever. I know.
But as soon as you hear that, you got to say, oh, so how the triple threat? What'd they teach you about the triple threat? You got to bring it to basketball camp. You know, lefty layups, offhand, defensive shuttles. That's on you, John. That's not my fault.
Yeah. My son's going to have some triple questions later. That'll be something I have to deal with.
Good luck.
My point about Beckham, Beckham's not a good guy. Most Giant fans don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but you guys really downplay him. Like, before he got hurt, his first 3 years, he was on a pace to be a Hall of Famer. And really dragged that team in 2016 to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, in that Super Bowl with the Rams, before he got hurt he was on his way to be the MVP.
That's true. That part is true. That is true.
I don't like Beckham, and yep. I don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he did do a little more that you guys make it out sometimes like he was a bum.
You know what, John? That's fair. You know, when you look at his first couple of years, and I just popped him up, I mean, you're talking 1,305 yards, 14, 15, 13, 67, 90-plus catches, 90-plus catches, 100-plus catches.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.